Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Please turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of the book of Malachi. Malachi, the second chapter. As you know, in the Old Testament worship, the priesthood was very, very important. It was taken from the tribe of Levi, which was the smallest tribe, but not only just from the tribe of Levi, but from one family within that tribe, and that was the family of Aaron, who was the brother of Moses. Therefore, over the course of time, you see, it grew, but it grew from a very specific male line of a particular family. It was a group of people who had a special set of responsibilities, and that was to take care of the tabernacle and later on the temple, as it was put in a permanent place, and that was in Jerusalem. They had responsibilities as they took care of the temple to make sure that worship was operated as it should have been, consistently with the laws that God had given in the Torah, and to make sure that as the worship was operated, that the people were also guided in that worship in the right way. They were led by a man who was the high priest, who was the linear descendant of the oldest son of the oldest surviving son of Aaron. That, of course, over the course of time, through death, had allowed that to take some very interesting turns, but. Was someone who had a very special responsibility, and that was to lead the priests in their particular functions. He would, as high priest, go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and there he would make provision for his own sins and for the sins of the people. The priests would serve as intermediaries, in effect, for their sins and for the sins of the people. One of the times that we see them, the children of Israel, not operating very well was when we see the priests not doing their job of operating worship in the proper way, of serving as the intermediaries when they should have. In the second chapter of the book of Malachi, we see that being one such time. It says in the first 9 verses of chapter 2 in the book of Malachi, it says, "And now this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I'm going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, and that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and of peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence, so he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips, and he walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek wisdom from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way, and you have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction." Here we see a time of difficulty where instead of showing the proper approach toward things, instead of the priests doing as they should in their leading the worship in the way that they should, instead of the Levites teaching as they should in their teaching function, we see everything falling apart in the worship and in the teaching and in the operation, and it having a ripple effect throughout the nation as it had come back to the land, and only in the remnant as it had existed there in the land for a relatively short time. These people wind up having been turned away by the people because the priests were not doing their particular job. I want you to recognize that in the New Testament, we don't have priests in the same sense that they had in the Old Testament. Preachers do not serve as priests like we see priests in the Old Testament. But there is a priesthood of all believers. And we'll talk about that just a little bit later on. That every New Testament Christian serves as a priest. And as we'll see a little bit later on, Jesus serves as our high priest, because he was the one who was able to enter into that holy place. But there are areas in which it points out that there were responsibilities that these people fell down, that there were priestly responsibilities that they had that are pointed out in this particular reading that all priests would have had. And I want to point those out just briefly this morning, so that we can see in those priestly responsibilities, we can understand what some of our priestly responsibilities might be, and we can perhaps realize that as we perform them, perhaps we can avoid some of the mistakes that these people committed that led to such terrible condemnation from the Lord. In verse 1 and the second early part of chapter two, of verse 2 in chapter 2, he says, "And now this command is for you, O priests, and if you do not listen." The first part of the command has to do with the idea of making sure that they listen. The idea here, of course, is that they make sure that this is something that they listen to with their ears. One of the things that we have to do as priests is to listen to the commandments of the Lord. If we are going to be priests, if we are going to fulfill our function as priests in the Lord's New Testament covenant, we're going to have to make sure that when the commandments of the Lord are given, that we, instead of not listening, that we do listen when the Lord speaks. Many people who are Christians think that somehow by occupying a bench on certain times of the week, or on the part of some, certain times during the month, that they might be able to maintain their priesthood. One of the things that you have to realize is that God required regularity out of his priests. That there were all kinds of functions that took place. That there were functions that took place daily that the priests had to take care of. There were Sabbath functions that were necessary for his priests to take care of. And besides that, there were also functions that took place throughout their year in which the priests were responsible. There were also times at which people would come and they would bring their offerings before the tabernacle and later at the temple, in which the priests were highly involved in helping people make atonement before the Lord. And we see in the first part of Leviticus different kinds of sacrifices that people would make, that the priests would help them in being able to make sacrifices that would help them be able to make things right with God. We need to make sure that we are familiar with what God would have us to do, because as priests, we need to understand, we need to listen when God speaks. That doesn't just mean listen when Brother Pope or, you know, when Brother Wilson or when Brother Orff speak. That doesn't mean that we just listen when the elders speak. That doesn't even mean just listen when the teacher in your Bible class speaks. That means that we listen when God speaks. And when the Word of God is opened, which hopefully that you open on a regular basis, hopefully on a daily basis in your home, that this is something that you listen to, that you pay close attention to, that you understand so that you'll be able to rightly divide it in your heart and in your life, so that day by day you may be able to grow thereby, and you may be able to have something that you can understand so that you'll be able to understand what God wants from you, so that you'll be able to help other people understand what God wants from them. Priests had a grave responsibility as they served in many ways as intermediaries between God and other people. We no longer need intermediaries between us and God because Jesus serves as that important intermediary. We have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, as we're told in 1 John 2 and verse 2. We need to make sure that in our lives, we do our best to function in such a way so that we listen to the Lord well enough so that when He speaks, we indeed listen. In verse 7 of chapter 2, I want you to notice something else. It says the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Priests had to be careful about what they said, because their lips and their mouths were things that people listened to. And we as priests have to be people who are careful about what we say, because we as priests under the new covenant are people that, whether you think so or not, there are people who are watching you. It may be younger priests in the Lord's kingdom. It may be younger people who have not yet become priests in the Lord's kingdom. It may be people who are outside of God's priesthood. But there are people who are watching what your lips say, what your mouth emits. And we cannot afford for our lips to say things that would discourage somebody from being what they need to be because we have been careless with what we say. We have to make sure that our lips speak truth, and not speak something that is simply what our mind would like to be the case. So as we've talked about over the last few minutes, we need to make sure that we know truth. We have to make sure that our lips speak those things that are seasoned with salt, as the scriptures say, so that we know what to say to each person. So we need to think carefully about what we say and make sure that we don't just spout off to someone, and in doing so, maybe discourage someone at a time when they might be encouraged to be able to do what God would have them to do. Because our very purpose is to be able to draw people to the Lord rather than to turn them away. Our purpose is to be able to say things that might be able to bring people to the Lord, and to seek out those opportunities when we can bring people to the Lord. Our purpose is not to tell people off. Our purpose is to try to make sure that what we can is to use those words like Jesus used words, to be able to say the right thing at the right time so that we might be able to have the right influence on people when we can have the right influence on them. Truth needs to be said, and sometimes we need to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all sound doctrine. But you know, we need to make sure that we do so with love. And we need to make sure that we do so with concern for people's souls and not simply for the idea of making sure that we can puff up our hearts and souls. You remember the very first verse of 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter? It literally says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. We need to make sure that our words aren't simply to puff ourselves up, but are to build up others, to edify others. And we have to make sure that our words are effective in being able to utilize our function as priests in the Lord's kingdom. In verse 6 of chapter 2, it says, true instruction was in his mouth, and righteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. He turned many back from iniquity. Priests have to properly use their feet too. They have to go. To some, that means they go and preach. Go and teach. Remember, the apostles were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. But you know, sometimes that means that we go to someone's house to teach them the gospel. Sometimes that means that we may go to someone's house to be able to talk to someone who is spiritually weak. Sometimes that means we may go to someone's house to give someone a word of encouragement. Sometimes that may mean we go to someone's hospital room to be able to give them a word to encourage them when they are physically debilitated. Sometimes that may mean that we go to give someone a word of encouragement when they are down. There are all kinds of situations in which we may use our feet or our automobile to be able to go to the places where we need to go to be able to serve. That's what priests do. That's what priests did in ancient times. That's what priests have to do now. It'd be nice if we just sat there and said, okay, I'm going to sit at my desk, or I'm going to sit at my house, and I'll have people come in and visit me whenever they want to, because after all, here, I have such a wealth of judgment that people can come in here and talk to me whenever they want to. Nobody's done it in the last 10 years, but they sure could if they wanted to. Priests have to go. They got to use their feet, because that's just the nature of the service that the Lord utilized in his priests. And especially in the New Testament kingdom, there's not a single place like Shiloh, and there's not a single place like Jerusalem where we worship and a place where we serve. We go out and we serve in all kinds of places. We come together at this particular place, but it's a meeting house. It's not a temple. While we worship here, and that makes it an important place for us. We need to make sure that we recognize that service doesn't cease when these doors are closed and locked. That our service as priests in the Lord's kingdom continues when we go out of this building and we seek opportunities to be able to look and help, especially those of the house of faith, but even those who may live in our community and we may be able to have influence on, to be able to help teach them what Christians do. Back in the first and second verses, you'll notice also it says, "And now this is the command for you, O priests, if you do not listen, if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name." Priests also not only use their ears and not only use their mouths and not only use their feet, but they use their hearts as well. And heart carries with it the idea of the whole being, of the intellect in terms of our being. We have to use all of ourselves. Take it to heart. To do what God would have us to do, to be pleasing to Him. And I think this is something that takes concentration on the part of us as priests in the Lord's kingdom. To take our duty to heart. I know it's easy to put yourself on autopilot and say, well, I'm going to go take care of my duties. I'm sure that was the problem with priests in the Old Testament as well. It's certainly the problem in Malachi. You could put yourself on autopilot, and before you knew it, you'd offered all kinds of sacrifices without necessarily examining what you had done in worship, without necessarily examining what you had sacrificed, without necessarily realizing that you had, before you know it, really involved no worship yourself and really not required much worship on the part of those who you had led. We've got to take to heart what we do. We've got to make sure that when we come together as Christians, that what we do is that we truly worship God. That God becomes a part of our worship when we read His Word. That we really imagine this as being something that is the Word of God that was meant for me to understand as well. It was written to other people, but it has an application to me. That when I sing the songs of Zion that come from the books that we read, that we realize these are songs in which, unless I'm engaged in the singing of them, that I really haven't worshiped. That when the prayers are prayed, unless I engage in those prayers, I haven't prayed. That unless I participate in the classes in terms of thinking of the thoughts that are being thought in those classes, unless my mind is engaged in what's going on as we contemplate the passages that are being discussed, then I really haven't engaged in the Bible class. And you know, it really doesn't take too much of that to have come to the meeting house and miss the worship altogether. It's the problem Malachi discusses here. And we can't have that. As priests, we don't want that. We want to be people who take it to heart to give honor to the Lord's name. Because as priests, that's our job. It's our duty. It's our honor and our privilege. If we fail to do so, as it continues in verse 1, it says, "Then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I've cursed them already because you're not taking it to heart." We don't want that to happen. It happened to those people in Malachi's day. We don't want it to happen as it happens, as he describes it in verse 3. He says, therefore, I'm going to rebuke your offspring, and I'll spread refuse in your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it. What a gross picture. But he says, you know, I'm going to do something as terrible as you can imagine. If you despise me, I'm going to do something that shows as great a despite to you as a human being can imagine. It's just as if that's what you were doing to me, he says. And we sure don't want to do that to God, because we know that the physical consequences of that he describes here are nothing compared to the spiritual consequences of that eternally. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in verse 14, it tells us that Jesus Christ is indeed our priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a great high priest. The Lord doesn't want bad things to happen to us. He wants us to be able to serve him. He came to this earth to be able to solve the priest problem for us, to serve as a high priest for us, better than any human high priest could be, to make us to where, instead of being able to go through a human intermediary, then we could all be priests and be able to go through him directly. Do you realize the privilege of being able to pray to him directly any hour of the day or night? Not having to go to some human being and have to depend on their being able to offer sacrifices. The sacrifice has been offered. It's Jesus Christ himself. He is the sacrifice, and he is the high priest as well. And he is the Son of the God that we serve. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it tells us about our priesthood. For you are a chosen race, he says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A royal priesthood, priests of the king. Do you realize what it costs to provide that for us? A wonderful privilege. Don't despise it. Don't underestimate it. In Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The spiritual priests, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, as a spiritual service of worship. And in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. How we live matters. What we say matters. How we give thanks matters. How we worship matters. We've talked about priests in the book of Malachi who were held accountable because when it came down to it, their worship to God was one that acted just like they didn't care. We have to be people that care. Because the priest that we serve is Jehovah Almighty. He's the great judge of all the earth. He's the one who spoke and the worlds came to be. And even more than that, he's the one who our redemption was the foremost idea in his mind when we sinned, and has had a plan before the foundation of the world that had you and me in mind to allow us to serve in this amazing function. Let us live up consistently to our priesthood and use our ears and our mouths and our feet and our hearts to be able to be the kind of priests that we need to be, to make sure that all of those praise him and glorify him in the things that we are and the things that we do, in his worship and in his service. Are you a priest this morning? You need to be. If you're not, why don't you come and become one this morning? Come in faith. Show it through repentance. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we can baptize you into Jesus Christ so that you can become a child of God. You can become a member of the Lord's church, and in doing so, become a priest in the Lord's kingdom. A member of that royal priesthood, a member of that holy nation, a people for God's own possession. If you as a child of God have become a blasphemous priest, then I would sure get that straightened out with God before it's too late, because you don't want to approach God having lived in such a way that you'll have to stand before God having lived a life that